Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back. Droid Life Show episode 135 today. It's a big show. We're recapping MWC. Anyways, it's Friday, March 3rd. I'm Kellen. With me is Tim. Tim's ahead.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Really long show. So I got my coffee and I'm good to go.
I've got coffee. I've got LaCroix, however you say that. I mean, LaCroix. Yeah, I want to say LaCroix, but Google corrected me the last show we did. So but we do have a big show. So Mobile World Congress was this week, and MWC for short. So MWC, big conference where a lot of companies unveil their first flagship devices for the first half of the new year. So we typically get Samsung's new Galaxy S phone, but we all know that's not coming for a little bit longer. But LG was there with the G6. Huawei was there. Motorola was there. BlackBerry Mobile was there. Sony was there. I'm sure somebody else was there. There was a lot of people there, and everyone had new stuff to show off. So we're going to recap some of that. Obviously, big stuff like G6 is important, but there's also some news around Google Assistant that you should be aware of. YouTube TV is out, in case you missed that bit of news. It kind of just slid in there. But let's dive into this. So LG G6 is probably the biggest story of the week. So Tim and I each have one in-house at the moment.
We got it.
Yeah, we each have one in-house for the moment. So I guess we'll just start from the beginning with that. LG G6 was announced at MWC on Sunday morning, really early, and they confirmed basically everything. We also had a chance to play with the device beforehand, so we posted our initial sort of hands-on video of it, but everything is confirmed on it. It has a Snapdragon 821, which I know people are probably still throwing fits about. Like I said a few weeks ago, I don't think I really care. But it does have a 5.7-inch quad HD LCD with an 18:9 ratio, 4 gig RAM, 32 gig storage, micro SD slot, dual 13 megapixel cameras, fingerprint reader, IP68, water and dust resistance, USB Type-C, 3300 milliamp-hour non-removable battery, which is a change for LG. And it's just a premium phone with glass paneling front and back, metal frame, looks really nice, feels really great in hand for a 5.7-inch phone. The footprint on it is not much, so it's an all-display front. And it is coming to all the big U.S. carriers. Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, Sprint, and U.S. Cellular have all confirmed. Unfortunately, we don't know when, and we don't know for how much. So we have the phone in hand. And we've gone hands-on, shown you guys tips and tricks, done all this stuff, showed you the specs. But unfortunately, we don't know what to tell you in terms of when you can buy it or how much you're going to have to spend.
So, well, we have a rough guesstimation thanks to previous reports and the rumors and leaks that we've seen. Like, we can expect early April, second week of April, and we can expect like $800.
Probably. During MWC, one of the Korean news outlets, The Investor, I believe it was, they actually spoke with a LG executive who said March 10th it'll launch in Korea. And I don't know that they've actually confirmed that, but that's what he said in an interview. And it's the only instance, I think, of somebody from LG saying that, which is kind of weird. You would think if he said that in an interview, they would like release a statement or something at this point. That hasn't happened, but that's what we're going off of, that he said March 10th in Korea. And yes, like Tim just said, in terms of rumors, we've been hearing like early April for when it'll launch here. So you're looking at a month in between, which is, I mean, they did this with the V20. It wasn't a good idea. I can't remember. Did they do it with the G5 last year? They probably did.
I don't even know.
Either way, March 10th is a good launch date if it was doing that globally. By early April, we're going to already have seen the Galaxy S8 unveiled, and that's probably going to take over the world. So, And in terms of price, we just don't know, right? Like, we've seen some estimates, and we've done some conversions and things like that. It's probably going to be at least $700, but could be pushing $800, as you just mentioned. It's not going to be cheap.
Yeah, and I mean, for everyone who'd be like, "Oh, dead on arrival, $800." I mean, even seven. Let's be conservative and say it's $700. I mean, the problem is that the phone, IP68 water resistance, wireless charging, at least here in the U.S., and the hardware is fantastic. Dual rear facing cameras, that insane 5.7-inch QHD display. it's got the specs, right? I mean, if Samsung made a phone like this, which they did last year, it's called the S7. Yeah, it would be a lot of money. So I guess the only problem is that I guess people don't think LG can price their phones so high. You know, yeah, like they
kind of weird, right? Yeah, only Samsung LG? And Apple are allowed to, or something. Because Google did the same thing. And
yeah.
Fit, and if LG is going to do it, everyone's going to throw a fit. So.
Exactly. And again, like, I mean, we're sort of speculating because all we saw was a rumored price for Korea, and, yeah, and all we did was convert that. So nothing is confirmed for $800. I mean, I personally, we were recently asked how much the G6 should cost if we were the ones pricing it. And I said $599. Like, that would get, that's low enough to get a lot of people excited. I don't know if LG would be making any money, right? Because this is great hardware. Feels great in hand. I just don't know if that U.S. consumer is ready to take that huge jump with LG like that. So I don't know. It's going to be a tough one, a tough sale for LG. Especially, I mean, they got Samsung coming right up the rear. It's going to be rough.
So the thing is, if you think of it from a carrier perspective, if they sell it for $600, you're looking at $25 a month. And if they sell it for $700, you're looking at $29 a month. So it's not like, you know, because everyone does the payment plan thing at this point. So there's not a big difference there. So if it's $700 or $600, there's like a $4 per month difference if you do a 24-month payment plan. So even if they come in at $7, I don't necessarily know that they're going to kill themselves on price. Everyone likes to complain about price, but I think the problem is going to be timing. I think if they launch this thing after Samsung shows off the S8, which we're pretty sure is going to happen, I think Samsung's going to open up pre-orders probably day one after they show it off. And people are going to go, okay. And meanwhile, the LG G6 is like still a week away from ever hitting. You know, like, so I think timing-wise, what probably is going to kill them. I think people can get over price just because everyone does payment plans, I assume, at this point.
Sure, not only that, but then, so LG is one of those companies that loves to throw in extra goodies on top of that price. So, wait, maybe a free micro SD card or a free wireless charger or some crap. But then also LG tends to, at least for phones that didn't do so hot, like the G5, I think that thing went on sale like 2 days after it launched. So maybe if the G6 isn't selling, but it's a phone that you really want, just hold off for like a month, maybe see if they lower the price, something. Mm. Anything's possible. So,
my guess is it'll be $700, but they'll throw in all sorts of freebies. That's my guess.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, so they'll justify the high price by offering up like free SD cards and stuff, which cost them pennies, right?
Right.
That's my guess.
Free storage on Google Drive and something like that.
It's sort of a random note, but on this G6 we have, it offered me a Google Drive promo. I can never claim them because I think I always claim them. Like every time we test a phone and there's that offer and they only let like one person get those. Do you ever get those?
Yeah, I get them on like every phone ever, except they either don't work with my work account, like because we have a GApps account, or I already have a promotion and so it doesn't allow me to.
Yeah, I try it on all of my accounts and they all just go, nope, sorry, you've already done this one.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we should just talk a little bit about G6 in terms of our thoughts, right? You and I have been using it for most of the week. What do you think about the G6? Is it a winner? Forget about the price for a second, just the phone in general. Sure. Is it awesome?
Yeah, G6 is a hero. I actually really quite like it. There's some things that I won't touch on, like battery life and final like camera, just because these are not official devices. These are pre-production. So until we get like final review units that are actually like consumer products, then I won't really talk much about the battery. At least on this pre-production, the battery's been fine. And the camera's okay. Not all that great. But again, I'm going to save my judgment. Other than that, hardware is awesome. It's great. I mean, I was running a Pixel up until this. So it's nice having a phone with that IP68. I can do whatever I want back in the kitchen, getting it wet and all this fun stuff out here in the rain that we've had in Portland for like the past 3 months. It's been really nice to have. Display looks great. I mean, you would think a phone with such little bezel. And that's what I really like about LG's implementation of this kind of bezel-less front, that it's not curved like Samsung's, which sort of makes it hard to handle in some instances. And so G6's display, very nice. The body itself is really nice to hold. I love having that fingerprint reader on the back. there's not a lot to complain about. The speaker is not the greatest, but it's okay. It's sort of in line with the S7 Edge from last year. Sort of similar to that. Always on display. Again, I have to say, like, what's not to like? I think they nailed it. I will say I would have much preferred the black version. I'm not huge on this platinum look. It's kind of bluish in some light. Other than that, I think it's really sweet, dude.
Yeah, I would have to agree. It's one of those phones that you hold in your hand, you can tell it's really premium device, right? It's right. From the glass and the metal and all that stuff. One thing I really appreciate is it's not ridiculously thin just to be thin. Like, it's got some thickness to it. And it's not thick as in it's going to be a tank or anything. But when you hold it in your hand, like, it doesn't feel like a thin little piece of paper. Like, that was one of those things I didn't like about the Moto Z. It's because it was too thin. And they made it just to be super thin. This phone isn't trying to be ridiculously thin. So it's got a decent size 3,300 milliamp hour battery in there. But it's got good size to it. So it fits in your hand. And I'm actually pretty impressed at the fact that it has a 5.7 inch display, which is on the larger side and on the larger size. And it doesn't feel like that in your hand. It doesn't feel huge. Like, you can hold this in one hand and use it with one hand for the most part, which is a pretty big deal. I haven't done much with the cameras. Like you said, these are not final units, so we can't necessarily give you any definitive thoughts on camera, on battery, that sort of thing. But the cameras are upgraded 13 megapixel shooters. Well, last year it used to be their dual camera setup used to be 16 megapixel and 8 megapixel. Now they're both 13. So they dropped res on the straight up shooter, increased it on the wide angle, so you don't have different sizes. And you should have same level of detail and all that stuff. I will say, though, that it's always been a cool feature to have the two the way they do it, rather than doing one that's like a zoom lens or like a black and white lens like Huawei does. They give you actual function out of it, like you can capture more of a scene, which I think is pretty cool. But yeah, overall, like the phone is really, really good. I don't like LG software still necessarily, but you know, if I was using this as my own personal device, obviously I'd have a different launcher on it and all of that stuff. But I mean, it's just like, it's all display. Like, it's pretty cool looking. Like, when you just like set it on a table or something and look at it, you're just like, wow, that actually looks pretty sweet. So yeah, so far in the testing we've done for it, I would say, yeah, it's a really nice phone. And yeah, even though we can't really talk official numbers, battery life so far has been fine. And this is not final software, so yeah. Battery life's been fine. Performance is fine. Fingerprint reader is good, nice and fast.
Software is not terrible, but yeah, not final. I saw someone
not the worst. I just like there's I whenever we're testing a phone, I always test it with the launcher that they give you, and I just hate their launchers. They're just so bad. But
right,
it's fine.
I don't have the official numbers. I just know that. So when we first wrote up, so a while ago, LG gave a picture to The Verge to post up, and it was like our first real look at the G6, and it was just the top half. And I got the Arcade 12 in the chat saying the screen to body, which I think it means like the screen to bezel ratio in the G6, and he says it's 78%. I believe it's a lot higher than that. I think it's, what, 90% screen to bezel? So
I would think it would be higher, but yeah, I don't know that I've seen official details on that.
Yeah, I just know that when that was posted, The Verge said that it was 90%. So I'm assuming LG kind of told them what was up when that took place. But all I know is that, you know, for being what it is, it's very comfortable to hold. And so I guess that worries me with the S8, because the S8, it's like taking it to the extreme, yeah. Right? With the real curved display going on too.
Yeah.
So pretty terrifying to think about in terms of usability. Like, when you're holding it in landscape, say the S8, you know, are my fingers going to get all jacked up, or will I have to hold it in a weird way because of that? And the G6, I just use it like a normal phone, even though with the huge display, like, it's really, they did good.
That is a balance between a flat and a curved display, right? Because like I talked about this a little bit today in the Q&A that we did, like, this is an all display front, but yeah, it's got enough bezel and it's flat. And so when you grip it, you hold it on the side. Whereas with Samsung's curved phones, you kind of always feel like these fingers on the side are touching the display, right?
Yeah.
And with this, you don't get that action where you could accidental press and things like that. So we'll have to see if Samsung's figured out a way to sort of combat that, or or if it's just something people are going to have to live with to have a cool looking, futuristic looking phone. But LG's flat version that's all display works really well, I think. It's just a premium phone. I mean, just all around. They did a really nice job on it. And like I said, the Snapdragon 821 doesn't really bug me at this point.
No, I haven't seen any huge like performance issues or anything like that.
You're not going to, right? Like it's a high-end chip that's what, like 6 months old?
Yeah, it's not that bad.
So we just always like shiny, new, really powerful things, which is what the A35 is. So
yeah, and then the downside is that all these people have to wait like another month and a half to even check it out. So
yeah, that's one of those things. Here we are talking about it. We have one in-house for now, but we don't even have final units that we can review for people. So not only do they have to wait before they may see this in like a month, like we can't even share final stuff because LG just doesn't have this thing ready yet. Keep that in mind. If anyone's posting up LG G6 reviews, they're doing it on non-final hardware and software, just so you guys are aware.
And that really sucks. That's embarrassing. Not embarrassing. It's dumb.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. If you guys are seeing reviews out there, I don't know that I would necessarily take every word there. This stuff's not finished yet. LG's only handing out non-finished units that people can test for a while. So
yeah,
just so you guys are aware, we'll have an official review when there's actual retail units out.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that's pretty much on the G6 for now in terms of what we can talk about. Yeah, I think LG did a really good job with this phone. I think people are gonna like it. So
I would hope so.
Oh, Scott asks, Kellen, you said the other day that LG software is one of the fastest, smoothest you know of. Would you still say that? Yeah, I mean, I think LG for the last probably 3 or 4 phones has made a buttery smooth performance with their software. I just don't necessarily like the look of their software and all the little like tiny nuances that makes it different from say like Google's. But yeah, I mean, this phone, it's smooth. There's no hiccups. It just kind of really works well. So yeah, this Mumble Fluff, we get it. You like Nokia. Nobody else does.
Some people do.
I know. Nokia, if we get to them, is like on the bottom of our topic list, just so you know.
To be totally honest, I don't think it's on the list at all That's how low it is. You were being nice.
Don't bother. I was maybe going to throw it out there when we got to the bottom level of stuff, but yeah, that's not
going to happen. I don't think we're going to be talking about it.
Think so either. All right, so moving on from LG, Samsung was also at Mobile World Congress. Of course, we knew they weren't going to talk about the Galaxy S8, and that meant they were going to show something, right? So what did they show? A new tablet, the Galaxy Tab S3, and then they also unveiled a new Gear VR. So Gear VR is basically just another Gear VR, but it now has a controller. So very much like Daydream, has a little touchpad, couple buttons, volume adjuster. It should be great just because that makes the VR experience better when you have a controller. And the previous Gear setups, I just always thought were so bad that had the touchpad thing up here. I just thought that was terrible. So they now have a controller with this Gear VR. I don't think they told us when it's coming out, but I would imagine when the S8 comes out, this new Gear VR will come out.
Yeah, not bad for their like 11th iteration of Gear VR to finally have a controller. Good job, Samsung. Welcome to the club.
They really are. They've come out with so many of these things. But that's yeah, then crazy. Google comes out with a controller and they're like, whoa, we can do that too. Okay.
Where you been?
Yeah.
I mean, the controller really helps the overall VR experience.
For sure. So I'm glad that they did. But yeah, why did it take them this? Why did it take it so long? And then once they saw Google, they finally went,
Samsung are just like the king of copycats. They're like, we could do that.
Sometimes they really are. As far as the Tab S3 goes, if anyone's interested in tablets these days, which I know not many of you are, it looks premium. It's got metal body. It's got a pretty high res display, 2048 by 1536, Snapdragon 820 processor, 4 GB RAM, 32 GB storage. It's got cameras, Type-C port, 6,000 milliamp hour battery with fast charging. So I have all these old tablets around my house, usually that just my child uses now when we travel, and none of them have fast charging because they're older, and it drives me insane. Mm. Like, because when you think about a tablet too, they all have massive batteries, and so charging a tablet takes like 8 hours, I feel like, but... it's also been tuned. It has quad speakers and it was tuned by AKG, which is a Harman company, which is a Samsung company. S Pen. And it's like a new thicker S Pen. Cool.
Wow.
I don't think we have pricing or dates for this either. So Samsung announced a couple things, but they wouldn't tell us when they were coming or for how much. That's cool. Yeah. But they did unveil the Galaxy S8 date, right?
Yep, March 29th. They gave, I mean, they sort of teased that they were going to give a teaser of the S8, and it was like the weakest teaser in the world.
Yeah, we thought it was supposed to be a minute long, sort of like teasy overview, maybe, or something.
Something. That was kind
of a rumor. It wasn't anything.
Yeah, it was a half minute, like, just here's a bunch of pictures of other crap. And then the last split second was just an overall, like, basic idea of what the phone will look like, which we have already seen before. And then the leaks that we have gotten align with it very well. But I wasn't blown away by the teaser. I was just expecting so much more, right? I mean, it's Samsung, right? And this is the first big phone after the Note 7. You'd think they would just be sort of, like, killing the game. But nah.
Yeah, they're going to hype it for a while. But it basically shows a silhouette phone that looks like what we've seen leaked, that has tiny chin, yeah, tiny forehead, no side bezel, all that stuff. So, yeah. And they're pushing this unbox your phone theme. I don't know that I understand that. They're just going to let people do a bunch of unboxings to promote it. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, March 29th, they're going to unveil the phone in New York. And yeah, we'll be there, so we'll have plenty of S8 coverage. In terms of new news on the S8, though, the leaks are starting to flow. I guess like a week ago, EvLeaks posted up an image that looked like the back packaging of the S8 Plus, and it said 6.2-inch display, 12-megapixel camera, IP68 dust and water resistance, iris scanner, 64 gig base storage, 4 gig RAM, wireless charging, and also earphones tuned by AKG. That's going to be a big thing, I think, for Samsung. But outside of that, this week, EvLeaks also posted what looks like an official render of the phone, and it matches up to leaks and the silhouette that Samsung posted. And it looks nice. Oh, and the BGR also got some photos of an actual device. And it matches up to that as well. Shows the on-screen navigation buttons. And it kind of looks like a Note 7, actually, just with shrunken bezels, I think.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
You were sort of cutting in and out there for a second. Like, did you bump your mic cable maybe or something?
I don't think so. Somebody was calling me, though. Maybe that was, like, messing with things.
Oh, yeah. It sounds distorted right now on your side, at least to me. I don't know if anyone else is hearing that, but...
Well, no, because yours is doing that a little bit, just a little crackly.
Oh, yeah. Yours is, like, real bad.
Yeah, yours is getting worse as well.
I can't even hear you. Sorry, everybody.
Is that better now?
It's better. Better than not being able to hear you. People are saying I'm the one cracking.
Yeah, you are the one cracking. I think it's yours.
But you're cracking anyway.
Yeah, yours is the one crackling, I'm pretty sure. It's been like that for quite a while. Anyways. Yeah, tweak some things. Wiggle some wires. Anyway, we got live photos of S8. It looks like what we expect. It's going to be a phone with tiny, tiny, tiny bezels, curved display. And I think the big thing is just going to be using it, holding it, and seeing how it fits in hand. But it looks nice. It looks crazy, but it looks nice. Oh, now we're both cracking. I don't know. Apparently we're both cracking now. I'm blaming Hangouts.
Oh, I blame Hangouts for everything.
Yeah. Because it's still there. It's just subtle on your end. But at this point, yeah, I'm just blaming Hangouts.
I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. Everything was fine until like 2 minutes ago.
Well, you know, you've just been doing this for a while. I've just been ignoring it. Oh. You've just been doing it most of the time, actually.
Oh, thanks for the heads up.
Well, it's just like this subtle little... So, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Everyone says it's not really that big of a deal, I think. Yeah, see? All right. That guy says we're fine. whatever. All right. So Samsung, March 29th is the big day. We'll be in New York. We'll have tons of coverage on all that stuff. All right. Moving out of MWC for a minute, though. Well, this news came at MWC, but Google announced this week that Google Assistant is leaving just Pixel exclusivity, and it's now available on all Marshmallow and Nougat phones. So, and it was supposed to start rolling out. Was it yesterday? It was like the official day, I think. And I don't know that anyone's really seen it. It's going to be a really slow rollout, I bet. But yeah, so if you have Marshmallow or Nougat, you now have access to Google Assistant, which is kind of cool. I mean, that was one of those things that Google said, no, this is a Pixel thing for now. No one else gets it, not even Nexus phones. Now, you know, pretty much everyone. I think there's like 30% of the Android population has Marshmallow or Nougat, so it's not a lot, but at least all the like techie nerds that have new phones will probably have access to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's great.
And then sort of related news, Rick Osterloh, who's the SVP of hardware for Google, confirmed to Android Pit that yes, indeed, they are making another Pixel device. And it'll stay premium. So it's not going to like drop down to like Nexus pricing or something like that. And yeah, it'll probably come out around the same time. He didn't confirm any details. I don't think he called it Pixel 2. He just said like, we'll have another Pixel and it'll come out around the same time and it'll be premium still. So not a big shocker, but we did have some confusion earlier in the week about the Chromebook Pixel line. Remember, like the initial story was Chromebook Pixel line is dead. Rest in peace, Pixel line. And then like the next day, Osterloh came out like on Twitter or something and was like, actually, it's not like totally dead. We just don't have anything right now. And so there was some confusion. And so when people are like, oh, he confirmed a new Pixel phone, like I think that's new. So anyway.
Is your mic working?
now you're just worried because you're like, I'm crackling, I sound like crap.
No, to be completely honest, like you would just cut out every 5 seconds. So anything you just said, I didn't even hear it. And so I'm trying to figure out the problem.
It's got to be on your end because no one else is missing. No one else is missing my audio, I don't think.
I can't hear you. I'm going to exit the call and I will rejoin. Let's do it. All right.
Sorry for the technical difficulties, folks. Who knows? It's Hangouts. Hangouts is janky. But let me know if you guys are having issues with my audio. Seems just like Tim's. Reboot. So yeah, Google Assistant now on Marshmallow Nougat. Let me know in the chat if any of you guys have seen that show up. Because I've been using Pixels and then the G6, which has Assistant on it already. So it's not like I was waiting for it there. So I don't have any phones booted up there waiting for it.
Hello.
Hey, you're back.
God.
It's probably just a terrible Hangouts connection or something.
It's all good. We're moving on.
Yeah, because see, now you're not crackling at all. And now you can hear me, obviously.
Amateur Hangout hour.
You just never know with Hangouts. I know we've spent a lot of time talking about this, folks, but like Hangouts, sometimes you just don't know. And then you get done with the show and everyone goes, yeah, dude, we couldn't hear anything you said. Or you try to pull the audio and it's just like the worst thing ever. So anyways, we're going to work on potentially a solution later this year if we find some time. Okay, so anyway, moving on. Motorola, we're going back in MWC land now. So Motorola had some announcements as well, actually quite a few big ones. So Moto G5 Plus, now official. In the US, though, we're only getting the G5 Plus. Last year, we did get G4 and G4 Plus, but I'm assuming Motorola saw that everyone was just upgrading to the Plus. And so that's what they brought here. It starts at $229, which seems like a steal for what you're getting. So if you guys haven't seen specs for this, Moto G5 Plus has a 5.2-inch full HD display, Gorilla Glass 3, 32 or 64 gig storage, 2 gig, 4 gig RAM. So the 229 must be the 32 gig storage, 2 gig RAM version, but it has a 3,000 milliamp hour removable battery with turbocharging. And they threw in a 12 megapixel, like sort of dual pixel kind of camera with f1.7. So it should be a really good camera. It has a Snapdragon 625, so definitely not a flagship high-end level processor, but for 25 for a mid-tier phone, should be really good. And it works on all the carriers, including Verizon. So that's coming very soon. We don't have an official launch date, but I think it's probably within the next month. So if you're looking for a mid-range phone, I mean, so if you're doubling storage, 64 and 4 gig RAM, is it like $100 premium? Even at $100 premium, $330 for those specs, that's pretty damn good. And a camera that could potentially be really, really good for that kind of that level of a phone. Moto always kills it, I think, with the G line.
Oh, it is their best selling lineup ever, yeah.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
So they got an all metal phone too, so it's premium. The last few, you know, they were kind of plastic.
Plastic.
Yeah. So G5 Plus should be great for those looking for a cheap phone. That's probably really good. See, they also announced a bunch of new Moto mods, or I should say they showed off a bunch of concepts and pictures for some. They didn't necessarily say like you can go buy these today. But they did announce a bunch, and we're talking like a gamepad that sort of turns your Moto phone into like a Nintendo Switch almost, that sort of thing. Like you dock it into it. A new turbocharger backplate, which to me seems like what they should all be. You know, the first couple like battery plates they introduced were just like they were slow and they didn't charge your thing fast. You just basically had to leave them on all day. They're going to choose a turbocharger one. They're also going to do just another power pack. They're going to do one that turns your phone into, well, gives it wireless charging capabilities, which is kind of cool. And then there was one other one they were working on that I didn't have a picture of. What was it?
That really is the problem with the Moto Z, in my opinion. I mean, they stripped a lot of features and functionality, and then they sell them as add-ons through Moto Mods. Like, dude, like that just seems so scummy. Like, why not just make an awesome phone to begin with?
Well, but like what they're doing, like with turbocharger ones, like that's kind of cool because instead of having a charger with you, you could slap on a turbocharging back and like recharge your phone. Like that's one I think, like I said, it should have been there from day one, but like that's cool, I think. The wireless charging one, they probably, so the thing with wireless charging is they couldn't build in wireless charging because they had to leave the option open to attach Moto mods. Like you can't attach a Moto mod and cover up the wireless charging, right? So they just then introduce a wireless charging mod.
Sure. How about some better speakers, though, instead of having to sell like a JBL boombox Moto mod or a camera?
It's just out of like the top, right?
The top, right, the top front. Yeah, it was just some weird stuff. Like, you know, that's all.
I think part of the problem was, like I talked about earlier, is they tried to make these ridiculously thin phones that didn't need to be. And so they probably stripped away some stuff like decent speakers. And then also, yeah, so they could upsell you. Oh, the other thing was a charging adapter so that you can finally charge your mods off of your phone. Because that's one of the issues, right? Some of the mods you can't charge unless they're attached to the phone. And so they're going to actually release a charging adapter.
Ay caramba.
But the big news is that Amazon and Motorola are apparently working together to create an Alexa mod. So it could be, I can't think of the damn speaker company, but they're working potentially with a speaker company to create a speaker that you would attach to the back that would have Amazon Alexa in there. So you could like talk to have Alexa on the go pretty much, which that's kind of cool.
That could be dope.
Yeah. And so Motorola showed off quite a, like some other concepts and stuff. They're really taking the Moto Mod stuff seriously, which I think is pretty cool for people that do own Motorola phones. Like they're fully invested in this idea and no one else is doing it since LG, you know, already backed away. And they also announced that Moto Mods, like the current ones that are out, so if you buy them, they will work with at least the next 3 years worth of phones from them. So if you did invest in like the projector or a battery pack or something like that, and if you buy the next Moto Z this year or next year, maybe even the following year, all your Moto Mods should still work. So it's going to be kind of a universal design for the next 3 years, which is, I don't know if I think that's awesome or
bad okay. Idea.
Yeah, because I don't necessarily love the design of the Moto Z right now.
Well, you're stuck with it.
Yeah, and so that's kind of what it feels like, right? Like you're stuck with that shape and size for the next few years. So hopefully their Moto mods are going to be worth it.
Yeah, we shall see.
Yeah, and the last bit of news from Motorola is they have now decided that they're okay with being called Motorola again. So last year at CES, actually, and it was when Rick Osterloh, who's now with Google, was still the head of Motorola. They were shifting away from Motorola, the name, and they were going to become Moto by Lenovo. And it was really confusing because their website's still Motorola.com and no one really knew what was going on, right? That apparently was not quite a successful idea. And so they're coming back and now they're going to be Motorola again. And now all Lenovo phones are seem like they're almost going away, and they're all going to be Motorola phones. Lenovo has no idea what it's doing.
Yeah, it's one of the more frustrating things. I remember when I would write up a Motorola story, and people would be like, Tim, there's no such thing as Motorola anymore. Yeah. I was like, dude, until like their about page says that they are no longer Motorola, right. I'm not going to change. Like, they're right. Just Motorola. Like, you've got the name. Like, you bought the name. Why would you want to just ditch it for Moto? Like, I don't know. It's just so weird.
Yeah, Lenovo had no idea what they were doing ever since they bought the company, clearly. So, yeah, they're going to be Motorola again. And
good.
They're spending tons of money rebranding themselves. Like, you're probably seeing commercials for them because they're trying to get back on the cool side of everyone because they're going to make a big push this year, I think. One thing they did say, which I thought was interesting, is phone sales for the Moto Z. Most phones, obviously, the first day they go up for sale, big spike in sales, right? Your best day is always your first couple of weeks, right? Your best sales period is always your first couple of weeks, and then everything just sort of slows down. They've said that they've actually seen an increase in sales as people are taking to this idea of Moto Mods and stuff. So clearly, people are finding some Moto Mods that sound useful, but they said they're seeing almost like the opposite. Like, they had their initial spike probably, but instead of just tapering off, they're actually seeing better sales as the phone grows, which is interesting because that doesn't happen with anyone, right?
Prove it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that they've ever talked sales figures, but it's just something.
Show me numbers.
And they also said, we're not making a new smartwatch anytime soon because no one wants smartwatches, is pretty much what they said.
Yeah, that's sad because they made the best one too, right? Yeah. At least in my mind, with the OG Moto 360 and the second gen, like those were like two of the best. And now with Huawei Watch going to sport, and they got the classic, but come on, it doesn't even look that good. Yeah, like Motorola, if Lenovo wants to make some money, I don't know if they really would in the long run, but if they want to regain a little bit of market share, they could just make like a throwback 360 and have it just look awesome. Yeah, they could kill the game.
Yeah, they said specifically, we're not in the business of doing a product for the sake of doing a product. So in other words, no one was buying smartwatches, and they're not going to keep doing it just to be doing it.
Lols.
And they have a small team of engineers that kind of work on the idea of a smartwatch, but they're not actually making one.
So, yeah. Well, it's interesting that they would say such a thing. But,
Well, I mean, if looking at the latest Android Wear offerings that just came out in the last couple of weeks, I don't blame them for not doing anything because they're all pretty bad.
Well, the thing is that they could do better.
They could. Right? Yeah.
So I guess that's my point. Considering that they went from, I mean, like the first true Android Wear watch that everybody wanted, the Moto 360, I had to drive all around Portland. I couldn't even find it because it was sold out everywhere.
It's because they made like 10, I think, though.
Yeah, probably. But the fact is, I couldn't find one. Sure. So
it hasn't happened with anybody else.
Exactly. It's never been a problem. So, yeah, I don't know. It's unfortunate, especially now with Android Wear 2.0. Like, it's a decent platform, like wearable OS. But I hate all of the hardware that's coming out. Like, it's all focused on fitness, which is great. Like, I understand. But, like, they're all fitness now. Like, there's not one that's, like, classy looking. No. I'm sorry. Like, even
Watch 2 Classic, which we'll talk about in a second, doesn't look like a classic watch. It looks like a sport watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, give me the OG 360 with NFC in it, and I'm good.
Yeah. It's frustrating.
Not going to happen. So anyway, that's big. So Motorola had some pretty big news. Moto G5 and G5 Plus, new Moto mods that work for a long time, and they're actually cool with being called Motorola again. It's just so weird to say.
Yeah.
All right, in other MWC news, Huawei Watch 2 is now official, as you just talked about. I honestly haven't looked that much into it because I looked at the design of it and said that thing is really ugly. So tell me about the Huawei Watch 2 and Watch 2 Classic.
Boo, Huawei Watch 2. Boo. So announced at MWC. It's got the Snapdragon Wear 2100 processor, 420 milliamp hour battery. So like the LG Watch Sport, which also has a very large battery in the 400 milliamp hour range, that hardly lasts a day. Huawei says that it will last 2 days. this new Huawei Watch 2. It's got a 1.2 inch full circle of display. So a little smaller than the Watch Sport.
Giant bezels.
Huge bezels, massive bezels. And that is thanks to LTE connectivity, NFC, all the stuff they got to build in for all that good stuff. So both are IP68. And so the thing is with the Sport, it's got more of like that kind of fitness look to it, plasticky rubber straps. And the Classic, it's just a freaking huge metal body with these. It's a hybrid strap, so it's leather on the outside and sort of a rubberized material on the inside to protect the leather from your sweat, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I mean, if you want to make a Classic watch, go all out. Make a Classic watch. Don't try and make it a hybrid fitness. I don't even know. It's very frustrating. It's really
so opposite of what the first Huawei watch was.
Yeah, and a lot of people seem to appreciate what that first Huawei watch was. So
everyone really liked that watch.
Yeah, so it's a total outside of
the Moto 360. I think it was like the next loved Android Wear watch.
Yeah. Furthermore, with the battery, they have something called watch mode, and so it'll actually turn your smartwatch into just a basic watch, and it should be able to last up to 25 days on a single charge. Bear in mind. It kills everything.
Not even get notifications. Yeah.
Yeah. No notifications. No nothing. You get a step counter and an actual like a watch, a time telling thing.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Like if you know you want your battery to last, but you want like a smartwatch look, but no smartwatch functionality. I would say maybe get like a Casio G-Shock or whatever. But yeah, that's cool. For pricing, we've got. The Watch 2 is going to start at 329 euros. And so that's around 350 bucks in the US. So right on par with the LG Watch Sport. We don't have exact US of availability, but we do have global launch in April. So
I'm looking at it right now and just going, man, yeah, what did you guys do? The original Huawei watch was so nice looking.
The colors are terrible, so it's only offered in what seems like a few colors. The original was offered in a whole bunch of like variety of models, but this one for this Watch 2, you've got black, orange, and a black yellow with white paint speckle.
Yeah, what's and then, the paint speckle version? That thing is terrible. I don't know.
It reminds me some of kind of like a Nike thing, but and then the Classic comes in sort of just a dark body with two different types of bands.
Yeah.
So. Not a lot going on. And I mean,
how disappointing.
If you compare the display to the bezel, I mean, it's like a night and day difference between the previous Huawei watch and this one. Like the two are just so far apart in terms of design. It's pretty mind boggling. And I would argue.
This is the original. Look how clean that is.
Super clean.
Yeah.
And this is a nice watch. So
just give me this with modern specs and NFC. Just give me this.
I blame LTE connectivity and I blame NFC and all that stuff. Like I get
what
NFC.
LTE have to mean sport though, you know? Like what if a dude wants to wear a classy looking watch with LTE? Does it have to be sport?
Yeah. Well, I guess my main concern is the size. And these watches are only getting bigger, but that's not what I appreciated about the last generation of smartwatches, right? I liked them thin and small and comfortable to wear. None of these are comfortable. So we'll see. We haven't even touched the Huawei Watch 2 yet or the Classic. So I'm sure we will soon enough and we'll be able to give some real opinion on it. But for the most part, I'm not feeling this whatsoever.
Mm-mm. I was just trying to look to see if we have official specs on it. See how big this bad boy is.
Oh, like casing and all that.
Yeah. God, Huawei announced a lot of stuff this week at MWC. Huawei does everything, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not finding. Oh, my God. There's like 800,000 things here. Well, never mind. Okay. And their website's really janky. Oh, there's the Huawei Watch 2. Okay. Hold on. I think I got it.
All right. Holding.
It's a pretty big watch. I'm just looking at the official pictures on there. I mean, it's not as big as the Watch Sport 2, I don't think, but. All right, there we go, specs. Let's see. Oh my God, dude. It's like a 48.9 millimeter.
Oh,
that includes the crown. So it's like a 45 millimeter case, which is that what the Watch Sport was?
Watch Sport is 45.
Okay, so similar size to that. Not finding dimensions, but yeah, it's 1.2 inch display, like you said.
It's a big boy.
They're not listing how thick it is. Oh, it's 12.6 millimeters thick. So that's thinner than the watch. I think the watch bar was like 14.
Yeah, it's a big boy.
So that's a little bit thinner.
I saw a recent picture of a couple of pictures that actually Huawei tweeted out today. I think they retweeted something, but it just showed off like a look of the watch, Huawei Watch 2. And it looked really bad in the photos. And I was really surprised that they tweeted those. I was like, this doesn't make your product look good at all.
No.
So if you want to see some bad pictures of the watch, go check out Huawei's Twitter.
Yeah, it's not a very pretty watch. It's just such an opposite of what they did with that original one. And I know it's been a couple of years, I think, since they released that, but that's too bad. In other Huawei news, they also made the P10 and P10 Plus official. And they both look really nice phones. They run EMUI 5.1. They come in a bunch of fun colors. They have upgraded specs all around. But, you know, we don't know if they're ever coming to the U.S. Like, it's hard for us to get really excited about the P10 and P10 Plus when they may never come to the U.S. Like, obviously, Huawei pushes Honor here. So there'll be an Honor equivalent, I would imagine, to this that will arrive here at some point. But these P10 and P10 Plus probably not coming here, which is too bad because the P9 was a pretty great phone, just had crappy software. And these actually have the good new Huawei software.
It is unfortunate. I'm sure you could
import
if you like taking that route, but I would probably wait for the Honor 8 Pro and the rumored, which
is probably like a P10 Plus, right?
Yeah, like a P10 Plus. I mean, the specs line up exactly almost. Yeah. 5.5 inch QHD, no, 5.7 inch QHD, so a little bit bigger, but the Kirin 960, Nugget, 4 gig RAM, all that same stuff. So.
Yeah, but we don't know when that's coming, right?
No, not exactly. I thought they were going to talk about it at MWC, but they never did. So very interesting move, I thought. But so I don't know exactly when we should expect any news on it.
Yeah. Let's see. So BlackBerry Mobile. So by the way, there is like two BlackBerries. I don't know if everyone understands this. So BlackBerry sold its hardware business basically to TCL. So TCL now runs BlackBerry Mobile, which is the hardware version. And then BlackBerry still exists as a software company. So if you guys ever hear us referring to BlackBerry Mobile, we're talking about the hardware version. Anyway, not to confuse everything, but BlackBerry Mobile or TCL unveiled the Key One, which is previously the Mercury that we first saw teased at CES. It's now official. It has a physical keyboard and a 4.5 inch display. And yeah, man, why are we talking about BlackBerry Mobile? Like, come on, no one's going to buy this stupid thing, are they?
Why are we talking about Nokia? Why are we talking about BlackBerry? These are companies that were better left dead.
Yeah, so the BlackBerry Key One, and that's all capitals, Key One, all one word though. So it has a Snapdragon 625 processor. It's got like decent specs. I don't want to just completely trash on it. It's got Type-C and things like that. A pretty big 3,500 milliamp-hour battery. It has the same camera as the Pixel. But, you know, it's BlackBerry. And it has a physical keyboard.
It's got a freaking QWERTY keyboard.
Someone tell me in the comments that they actually want a phone with a physical keyboard. Because I sure as hell don't. Why would I want that? I want more screen real estate. I don't want a keyboard.
Mumblefluff says I can expect a long email. I'm hopefully explaining why I'm wrong about Nokia. I hope you got some good points to bring up, dude. You know, surprisingly, so I was looking in the comments for the BlackBerry Key One, and of course, you and I obviously aren't very like hip on it, but we clearly do not have our thumb on like the pulse of America because our readers think like, "Oh, the specs sound good."
All right, I'm reading comments. Here's one that says, I'm getting one. I want to be different, he said.
This guy says, this phone actually looks dope. Get blocked.
Yeah, then it's like, if they sold it for $400 on Verizon, I would consider, which they're not. It's like $650, $700, I think. And it's only GSM, and it's only unlocked.
I just don't understand having a touch display as well as a physical keyboard. Like I thought the whole touch display thing was so you could eliminate the keyboard. Why are we going back? Why are we hybrid? Making the hybrid?
I don't know. I really don't think people are asking for a physical keyboard anymore. I just don't think they are.
Not real people.
Software keyboards are so much faster and more efficient these days. But you're right, though. There are some people that actually, oh, give props. Oh, that guy says fail at 550.
Okay. So here, let me reiterate and clarify.
It's a good mix.
Yeah. I will say that the phone actually doesn't look terrible. Like, for what it is, it is designed.
Design-wise, it looks nice. Yeah,
design, it looks fine.
For sure.
But the idea, the overall concept, doesn't intrigue me.
I guess we're going to have to get one to be proven
wrong. Oh, we will get one. Yeah. Oh, yes. I never touched a Prev, but I'm down to check out the Key One.
The Prev was so terrible. It was so bad.
Ron thought that was Android phone of the year.
Oh my God, Ron did. We should go back and slap him for saying that. It was so bad. I tried.
I'm going to repost that.
5 minutes and was like, this phone is such garbage.
Yeah. So this next week, Throwback Thursday.
Yeah.
Mom's review of the Priv.
All right, so Sony also announced the Xperia XZ Premium. So last year they had XZ phones. Now they have the XZ Premium. It has a 4K display. It'll have a Snapdragon 835. But it's not coming out until late spring. So Sony just announced a new phone in February. That's not coming out until late spring, which is like June. We're talking like 6 months or 4 months away.
This phone. That's wild.
Oh, Sony. And the phone looks exactly like all the Xperia phones from the last like 7 years. They talk about how it has a new camera again, except Sony can never implement their own cameras very well. But it does have an A35, which is something, whenever it launches. lots of glass, lots of metal. It looks sort of pretty, except it has the giantest bezel. Like, people make fun of the Google Pixel bezels. Take a look at the Xperia XZ Premium. And we're talking bezel.
I can't even follow like their naming scheme. I have no idea.
I hate to say it because it's our job to keep up with this stuff, but I've completely just forgotten about Sony at this point because their phones never come here ever, right? And if they do, they're 6 months late and they're way too expensive and they obviously don't care about selling them and they don't have fingerprint readers. They take them out every time they come to the U.S. It's impossible to care about Sony, which is unfortunate because there was a time when Sony was actually making really cool phones. Mm-hmm. This phone actually could be cool, although it has giant bezels, dude. It's insane.
Yeah.
All right, so Nokia was not on our list, but what happened to Muffle Top or whatever his name was? Mumble Fluff.
He said I should be expecting an email. I'm guessing maybe to prove me wrong about why Nokia isn't irrelevant.
Yeah, so Nokia announced, I think, like 700 phones at MWC, and all of them are low-end to mid-range phones that will never come to the U.S. And, yeah, they run sort of a stock version of Android, which is cool. We'll give them some credit for that. But other than that...
Pure Android, baby.
They also announced, what's the stupid retro phone that
3310
people are excited about? The 3310, is that it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they reintroduced the 3310, which is apparently an old classic Nokia phone that had Snake on it or something. I don't care. I don't. It's not.
I had that exact brick in when was that? I was a eighth grade. So I don't know how old you're supposed to be in eighth grade. Oh, I remember. I turned 14 in eighth grade, so that was holy shit, like 13 years ago or something. Long time ago. But yeah,
I mean, I don't like when a company reintroduces a feature phone, why would I be excited about that? I've seen lots of media tech people, like people love to go back in time and relive their old high school lives, like you were just talking about. I'm not one of those people. I don't really give a crap about old feature phones. I'm sorry.
Hater.
I am too. It's just like one of those things. I just don't care. But.
Samsung Shield in the chat makes a fantastic point. MWC big news, 3310, how pitiful. I totally agree. I mean, and that's the problem with, I think, like our tech media here in the U.S. It's like they were just totally, it was a big circle jerk over the 3310, and it's not coming to the U.S., so, you know, who cares? Oh, it's got Snake. You can go on Google Play, I guarantee, and just find a billion different Snake games. If that's what you want, is Snake. They've got it on Google Play.
I see Scott in the chat says, Nokia is not even the same company now. And they're not. They're just like BlackBerry Mobile is now run by TCL. Nokia is run by some other Swiss or Swedish company, whatever the hell they are. They're not even the same Nokia. They just are like trying to relive those old days as the new version of Nokia. Just, I don't care. If they make a flagship and they sell it here on carriers, or at least try to sell it here right up front and look, we're a US focused site. So we don't really talk about phones that are Euro only.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Someone asked, would you care if it came to the US?
Nope.
No.
No. I wouldn't at all. It's not an Android phone.
It's not an Android phone, right? So we don't have to care. It's not like, you know, and don't mistake this for hate, right? Like, we simply just don't care. So it's definitely not hate.
Yeah,
Nokia can do whatever they want.
Yeah, no, they can do whatever they want.
It doesn't faze me.
I don't hate what they're doing. I just don't care.
Right.
There is a difference there, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, Europe nostalgia. That's pretty much what it is. Europe's just like, yay, they're back.
I get it, right? Like, if you want to get your kid, like, instead of getting your kid an iPhone, get your kid the Nokia 3310. Like, that's cool. I get that. But that's about it. Every young person should start with a Nokia 3310, just like I did back in the day. And then from there, I moved on. I went to some other crap from Sprint, and then I got the LG Voyager, and then I got Android. I want
my child getting made fun of for using a dumb phone, though. Like, at least, like, I want him to be able to send me an instant message on Hangouts, and he can't do that from that thing. Like, that's that phone, it's so irrelevant. There's no reason to have it other than to just go, guys, I had this in high school, and now I have the new one. And then somebody sends you a message on Apple Messages, and you're like, well, I didn't get your message, bro. Stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Feature phones. Yeah.
All right. And anything else from MWC that we're not remembering? I think that's about it, right?
MWC, I think that was about it. I mean, the big thing is G6, and we got that.
Yeah, so. In terms of US stuff, for sure, G6 was the big one, and a lot of the other stuff, unfortunately, is just not coming here. This is also partly why Tim and I don't go to MWC, because it's all this international stuff. Half of it doesn't come here, and it would be a waste of time for us.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on then, in other news, well, we ran a poll actually this week that was on if any of the flagships that are on the horizon, anyone leaning towards anything in particular. And we gave answers of G6, the S8 line, HTC's U Ultra, because these three have all been announced. Other, just in case you're leaning towards something else, or if you're just waiting for something else altogether. And 41% of readers said, nope, just waiting for something else. But 35% did say Galaxy S8 is what they're getting.
What about the U Ultra? Where is that at?
Yeah, the U Ultra is, well, it's up to 2% now.
Holy, out of how many votes, if you mind me asking?
Almost 7,000.
Oh,
so
2%.
100 people said they might be interested in the U Ultra.
HTC is looking at a good 2017.
G6, though, 12%. Other, 10%. So not a great opening there. Actually, this is kind of funny. The LG G6 has 821 votes. It has a Snapdragon 821.
What? That's take so a picture.
Fitting. Should take a picture. I was like, did we put 821 in there on purpose? And then I was like, oh, no, that's the number of votes. So, yeah, I think a lot of people, even though the Google Pixel line caught some flack initially for pricing and all that, people bought the Pixel and people do love the Pixel. And so they're obviously going to wait for that. And then you have to remember the Note 8 crowd that had the Note 7. They're waiting for Note 8. So I think that's why you're seeing a big waiting for something else, because people want new Pixel. They want Note 8. I don't think that means they're scared of the S8. Lots of people said they're obviously getting the S8, but there are some stuff. There are some phones coming in the future that will probably be really, really awesome too. So
anyone who's currently rocking a Pixel, I mean, does not need to upgrade unless they want water resistance. Other than that, the Pixel is fine.
A couple of years ago, so.
Yeah, it's still got an awesome camera, blah, blah, blah. It's a good phone.
All right, YouTube out of nowhere announced YouTube TV this week. So we've had a source tell us about YouTube TV quite a while ago, and that Google just didn't really know when they were going to launch it. It's kind of, it almost felt like it went back on the back burner for a while, but they announced it this week, and it starts at $35 per month, no contracts or anything. It does include live local channels of ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC, and then there's about 30 other channels. But it doesn't have any of the Turner channels like TNT, TBS. That must mean, is FX part of Turner?
No.
No. but it also doesn't have like HGTV, Travel Channel, Food Network. It doesn't have those. And then it also doesn't have MTV, Comedy Central, VH1, right?
Cartoon Network.
So it's missing quite a few big channels. But it does have like local sports channels like Comcast Sportsnet, the Fox Sports, and Fox Sports One, and some of those. So it actually is kind of a good sports thing, but it doesn't have NBA TV either, or the NFL Network, I don't believe. So, but it does have like the Big Ten Network and the SEC Network. So it has this kind of weird mix of sports stuff. Oh, it does have FX, by the way. So not a lot there, but $35 is pretty cheap. has an add-on for Showtime, but we don't know how much that add-on costs. It does have DVR, and it's kind of unlimited DVR, right?
Yep. Cloud DVR.
Cloud DVR. And it'll be available Chromecast to TVs. There'll be an app for tablets, Android, and iOS. You can watch it on desktop. So you'll be able to watch it just about anywhere.
Pretty much anywhere you can watch YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. We don't really know when it's launching, though, right? They didn't tell us?
Nope. They didn't even specify where, dude. I mean, they said that it will only be for like major cities at first. So what, New York, San Francisco, Dallas, LA? Yeah. I don't even know if it's coming to Portland. It's ridiculous.
I saw a list somewhere. Where is that? Somebody had it.
Somebody has a list of where it's going?
The actual select cities. Try to find out.
Portland, fingers crossed for Portland. I'm so ready to ditch Comcast. I'll probably just do the PlayStation View thing. Like, I've heard enough good things about it. So might as well just do it. Bite the bullet, Tim.
Get it over with. PlayStation View, it's great. Anyways, yeah, it is only select markets, so it's not coming to everywhere right away. It's gonna be a slow rollout. It was kind of a weak announcement, actually.
I agree.
It's cool that YouTube's doing this thing. They've been working on this for a long time, but they need to either add some extra tiers to get extra channels, because that's not enough channels. But I love the accessibility of it. And obviously, $35 a month's a good price. But yeah, they need more channels. All those channels we just mentioned are pretty popular channels. And then the fact that, yeah, it's not just a thing that's available everywhere is kind of a downer. So... Mm. It'll be sometime. Once it comes out, we'll let you guys know, and hopefully it's in your city or even in our city, so we can maybe test it for a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's see. In random unlimited news, over the weekend, Cricket Wireless, everybody's favorite cheap unlimited dealer, they announced that there's going to be a 22 gigabyte cap now on unlimited data, and then they'll start throttling you depending on if you're in a congested area or not. And that starts April 2nd. And then a couple days later, I don't know if it was due to backlash or what the deal was, but they dropped the price on that unlimited plan by $10. So Cricket Unlimited plan is now $55 with auto pay, which is pretty damn cheap. It was previously $65 with auto pay, which was already cheap. Now it's $55 with auto pay. And then AT&T, because everyone just crapped all over their unlimited plan when they just like ditched the DirecTV requirement, they've come out with two new plans. The Unlimited Plus and Unlimited Choice. And Unlimited Plus is basically it's like Verizon's, and it has 10 gig of tethering, and there's no like throttling anywhere or anything like that. It starts at $90 for one smartphone. The Unlimited Choice plan is standard definition streaming, which is 480p at a max of 1.5 megabits per second. But you're also throttled to a total of 3 megabits per second download speeds. So like you don't get any full speed whatsoever at all. You get unlimited use, but that's even slower than Cricket's 8 megabits per second. So yeah, and that starts at $60. You may as well go get Cricket. You have faster speeds and you pay $5 less. But yeah, AT&T kind of matched everyone. And finally, should I get into this? We talked a little bit about Verizon's Unlimited because people have asked us whether or not they should ditch their grandfather for the new Verizon Unlimited plan.
Yeah, we got a lot of questions about it. Might as well.
Yeah, so we've had some people ask us since Verizon announced Verizon Unlimited and they have grandfather Unlimited, whether or not they should switch. And so I wasn't trying to make the case for anyone. I was just telling people why I did make the switch. So as you guys know, I had grandfather Unlimited, had it for a long time. And I was gonna at one point do some testing, see how much data I could use before they would kill me. And I just kind of gave up on that because they didn't seem to want to shut me down. But I made the switch to Verizon Unlimited because it's ridiculously cheaper compared to what my cost of the grandfather plan was. Like, I was paying $145 a month for a single line with unlimited data, and now I pay $80 with Verizon Unlimited. But another reason I switched was because the grandfathered plan, it wasn't really unlimited anymore, right? There was always this fear that you were going to get knocked off it if you use too much data or whatever. So it was kind of had a limit anyway. Obviously, it was more of a limit than the 22 gig soft cap that Verizon's put on Verizon Unlimited, which they can then throttle you after that. But there's caps on both of them if you kind of look at it that way. But one of the biggest things was tethering. The Verizon Unlimited plan has 10 gigabytes per month of tethering. And the old grandfather plan, they took away the option to add on like a $30 per month tethering, which I used to use when Tim and I traveled all the time for work. Like, I'd always had my Verizon phone. I would add on that feature just for the time we were traveling, and we would tether it. And then they took that away. So I had this unlimited plan that I couldn't even tether with, which is sort of kind of defeated the purpose, I thought. So I made the switch because of that. It was like $60 a month cheaper. I probably am not going to be using 100 gigabytes of data on it because I switch phones and stuff all the time. But, you know, even if I hit 22, I live in a rural area. I don't think I'll be throttled very often. And then I needed tethering. So that was kind of the story we threw out there.
I think you made the right choice.
Yeah. But if you guys want to see other people's reasons, I would say go check out that post because there's almost 300 comments in there. And a lot of people are sharing whether or not they switched, if they kept it, if they didn't. One of the big reasons is Verizon Unlimited doesn't allow for employer discounts for the most part. So a lot of people were like, I kept my grandfather because I have this discount, which basically brings me pretty close. So, go read through the comments. There's like 300 of them and everyone's sharing their sort of story on what they're doing. It's actually a pretty good read if you want to. So, and that's pretty much it. You got anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah, I was trying to think if I had an app or anything, but no new apps. I did talk about one app. If you just got to have that rounded corner display look that the LG G6 offers, say like on a Pixel or any other device that is supported, it's called Corner Fly. One word, Corner Fly, FLY. And it's very unique. But it essentially rounds the corners of your display. And I will say it looks really good on a black display or on sort of like a black front, not so much a white front. So I showed a picture of it on my white front, my very blue Pixel, my really blue Pixel. And it doesn't look all that great because it has like black corners now. It looks kind of odd. But on a phone with a black front, it looks pretty good. Check it out. It's kind of cool. I mean, this is by no means a new technology. I think Cornerfly and apps like it. There was also one called Rounder, R-O-U-N-D-R. And I think I wrote that up like way back in the day. But I sort of dig it. It looks good on the G6. So if you really wanted to recreate that, you can. There is an app for that.
I do actually like the rounded corners on it.
It's not bad.
It's just like a different look, I guess. It's not like it adds functionality or does anything. It just adds a different look. And you know, underneath it, it's just square. They just, the top glass, they obviously just put rounded stuff in there. But
right.
It's a different look, so I'm all for change in certain ways sometimes.
There's nothing wrong with change.
There's nothing wrong with that. All right. So, Tim and I have had the G6. If you guys have any questions, you can always just shoot us whatever. But we'll review these someday. Someday when the phone finally launches.
Yeah, sometime next month. Oh, man. A whole lot's going to happen between now and then.
Oh, we should have an HTCU Ultra pretty soon as well. So for the 10 of you looking for U Ultra coverage, we'll probably have some pretty soon, actually.
I'm excited about that phone.
Yeah.
No headphone jack, no water resistance. Looks pretty dope.
So
$750 bucks.
Here's something we don't talk about much. So Scott in the chat asked, what do we do when we swap around between phones all the time? How do we handle phone numbers and how we talk to family and friends? And I said, we use Google Voice for that.
Oh, yeah.
So basically, I think Tim and I use a similar setup. We obviously have a couple of different lines running depending on how many phones we're reviewing or whatever, but we have one Google Voice number, and that's the phone number we just give to everyone. And so every time we get a new phone, and because when we get review units in, a lot of times they'll have active service on them, and so they'll have a phone number. So we just attach that phone number to our Google Voice phone number while we're reviewing it. And then when people want to talk to us or send us text messages or whatever, it just comes through our Google Voice line on that phone we're testing, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Like if you get one of our business cards, it'll have our Google Voice number on it. So no matter what phone we're using, it'll get to us.
Yeah. It's just one phone number that we use for everything, basically.
Yeah. And we just use Hangouts, right? So that carries across. So it's easy.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, I don't have anything else then. Lots of stuff going on there. Lots of stuff. Get me busy now because G6 coming, S8 coming, Moto G5 coming, U Ultra coming, Huawei Watch 2 coming. What else?
Somebody BlackBerry else. Key1.
BlackBerry Key1 coming. Google I.O. soon. We haven't had a show since I.O. registration opened and closed, I don't think. So if you missed out on that, we're sorry. I.O. registration was open. It's now closed. They're already sending invites to people. And we'll be there as well. We've been invited to that. So we'll be at Google I.O. again. That's in May.
Yeah. Someone was asking, what other carrier line do you have except Verizon? I believe Kellen also has T-Mobile.
I have three. I have AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon.
Yeah, but like, is T-Mobile the one you actually use?
Yeah, so for the most part, I use... Well, like right now, I have two Pixels. I have a white one with a T-Mobile SIM and a black one with a Verizon SIM. And those are the two phones I use, depending on which is charged. Typically, it's the white one because the white one's attached to all the Android Wear watches I'm testing. And in order to swap those to another phone, I have to factory reset them all. So the white one on T-Mobile is what I use the majority of the time, but I have been giving the Verizon one more love. The AT&T line is a Go phone line, and I almost never use it, really just for testing. It's what's in the G5 right now, but...
G6.
So yeah, I do keep a line on those three. Sprint, we've talked enough about how we don't deal with Sprint, but yeah, the other ones we do use plenty of.
I'll go into a Sprint store this weekend and fire up a line and give it a try. Line. Yeah. Oh god.
Could be fun.
Yeah.
Kellen, what do you think about Cortana on Android? I have not used Cortana once. I think I installed Cortana and took some pictures, and I don't think I used it other than that. I do use Google Assistant. I would say I'm not a big Assistant user, but I do use Google Assistant quite a bit. And like I have Google Home right behind me over the other shoulder. And so I do talk to that a little bit and use that assistant because it just sort of blends in with all my Google stuff. But Cortana, I haven't really used, unfortunately. Sell me on it.
Cool.
All right. Yeah, I think we're good then.
Yeah. I hope everyone has a freaking fantastic weekend. We're finally getting a real weekend. I mean, last weekend we had to work.
Yeah, I had to work all MWZ weekend. It was MWZ. A long weekend.
Yeah.
All right. Somebody just mentioned, we have to point this out. HTC are waiting for Snapdragon 835. So we have an HTC U Ultra coming. We're trying to figure out who's actually going to buy this phone. And our poll clearly shows that no one is going to buy it. And we think part of the reason is HTC already told everyone, like, once the 835 is out, we're going to have a new phone. So, like, why would you buy the HTC Ultra knowing that you have another phone coming really soon, probably? That's an upgrade. So it's HTC for you.
Yeah. Good luck.
All right, cool. Thanks for joining us, guys. Episode 135 in the books. Have a safe weekend.
Peace.